I'm your host, Phil Smrek, and this is From Ohio. This episode is personal for me as it brings my hometown hero, International Boxing Hall of Famer and film producer, Ray Boom Boom Mancini, to the show. Like Youngstown itself, Ray's taken on devastating punches, both literally and figuratively. Early on in his career, his older brother died from a gunshot wound at the hands of his girlfriend, who accidentally discharged the weapon on Valentine's Day. And in his second bout, defending his newly acquired lightweight title, challenger Dookkoo Kim of South Korea fell into a coma shortly after ref Richard Green called the fight after 14 brutal rounds. Kim died 4 days later. And within a year, both Kim's mother and Green committed suicide, a triple tragedy that caused Mancini to fall into a deep depression. Mancini dealt with it with dignity and respect, and continued to fight until finally laying down his gloves for the last time in 1992, but not before his boxing career was immortalized in Warren Zevon's 1987 song, Boom Boom Mancini. In the mid-80s, Mancini was signed by the William Morris Talent Agency for endorsements, commentary, and acting, and moved to the West Coast. Following the publication and movie release of his bio, The Good Son, Mancini returned home with a new title, film producer, and promise to make Youngstown a film production destination. His company, Champion Pictures, is set to start shooting a feature in Youngstown this fall, and it is my proud privilege to welcome Ray Mancini to From Ohio. I asked Ray to talk about the 2010 documentary he produced featuring fellow Youngstowner and Modern Family star Ed O'Neill.
It's called Youngstown, Still Standing. And the reason I did it is because I had talked to how many people had come to me about doing a movie about Youngstown. But all they wanted to talk about was the organized crime. And I said, you know, and that's all they wanted. That's all they said. I said, you do know we're more than that.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I said, let me give you the statistics. We're the second biggest steel producing city in the world. I said, we're at the forefront of the industrialization of America. We have the pioneers of Hollywood. The Warner Brothers are born and raised here. I said, you know, the creator or the inspiration or the first gentleman to do a strip mall from Youngstown. I said, so, and of course, the owner, sports teams, the owner of the 49ers are here. We're the only city of our size that have 5 world champions in the sport of boxing. I said, so we're a lot more than that. And I said, so when they look at you and they go, oh, we didn't know that. I said, exactly. Exactly. Well, you shouldn't be the ones doing it. And I realized I had to be the one to do it. And, you know, okay, let's do it. I had produced before. I produced for MGM. I produced for Warner Brothers. Let's do this. And you know, documentaries, it's film. You know, film is film. Whether it's in the theaters, whether it's on TV, mm-hmm. whether it's on your, you know, iPad now or whatever, a film is film. So I said, I got to be the one to do it. And I got a young DP, director of photography from Youngstown, who had just come to L.A. He had been there a very short period of time. I said, hey, you want to go to work? Let's go back home and do this. And he was all excited. And he started as my director of photography. He had a friend of mine from New York, from Brooklyn, who was the director of it. And we were on for a couple of days, and he got called to do another job.
Mm.
And, you know, since I wasn't paying him much.
Yeah.
He said, Ray, I got to go. I said, no, you go. So it was just me and my young DP who wants to be a, who wanted to be a director. I said, well, this is your shot. Time to step up. And he directed the film. And he also, he's an editor by trade. So, you know, I hit the juggernaut. Mm-hmm. Guy who directs, shoots, and edits. So that was it. And we had a lineup of people. We brought them all in. And we did interviews. And people seemed to really enjoy the idea of what it could be. So when it was finished, we had a premiere down at the downtown at the Butler Art Institute.
Mm-hmm.
We had a premiere there. People came, and they absolutely loved it.
Let's talk about you moving back to Youngstown.
Right.
And I really want to get your thought on having the knowledge of the history of Youngstown. Where do you think Youngstown's going? Because, you know, for someone like myself, when I come back here, I remember the glory days of the 70s and whatnot. Right. And I'm just like, you know, you listen, Ray, you go on the south side and you go down a block and there's like, it's like the ugly stepchild of Detroit, right? So where are we going now?
Well, you have to understand, when I moved to California in 1985. After I won the title in 1982, I came back and I was training here. I mean, living here while then I go away to training camps. When I retired in 1985, I moved to California because I was being represented by the William Morris Agency, so for entertainment, for commercial endorsements, for commentary. And,
oh yeah, I saw
acting.
The little clip of you on Who's the Boss.
Yeah,
they got you some
work.
Well,
the funny thing is, I've actually done 20 films. I've done much TV, and that's why I got into how I got into film producing, and I didn't know anything about it. But that's like most things. Go in and say, you know, I love, you know, I'm a movie goer. I always love movies. We're on set, you know, I know that's the director and that's the DP. And who's that guy? He's the producer.
Right.
What does he do? Well, he's the one who owns the, you know, IP. He raises the money. Basically, he hires us. He's the boss. He's the boss. That's who I got to talk to.
Right.
And so, you know, and I talk to producers and ask them how they got into it. What does it take to be a producer? And early on, my agent at the time said, oh, you should just worry about acting. Don't worry about producing. Because I told him I would like to do my own stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, just worry about acting, getting a gig. Don't worry about producing. Okay. Which is actually the stupidest thing to tell me because that's exactly what I'm going to do.
Right.
I'm asking for your help to show, you know, help guide me. But what I've learned is there is no rhyme or reason. There is no formula you could follow. It's through trial and error. And I made every jerk-off mistake you can make.
Mm-hmm.
Until I didn't. Now I go in to sit with the, that's Youngstown playing bocce here. That's the Youngstown sound. You know,
the Youngstown sound.
That's the Youngstown sound. And then there we go again. Boom. And you know, now I produce for MGM, I produce for Warner Brothers, and I've done independent stuff. And I go in and I sit with the studio heads now, and I talk the language. And I know the business.
Yeah.
You know?
And do you feel like that? Do you have the hope that Youngstown could actually get back to where once in its heyday in 1940?
I don't know if it'll be in its heyday like that.
Yeah.
But I certainly think it could be a destination in northeastern Ohio, western PA.
Yeah.
Certainly a destination for that's why I came back, because I'm going to make this a film destination. You know, Pittsburgh and Cleveland do a lot of production. You know, all the Marvel stuff goes to Cleveland. Mm-hmm. Pittsburgh's been doing it for years, and they had
the
center.
Yeah, you know, there's those Russo brothers that are from Cleveland.
Cleveland, right. But we had no incentive. We were like one of the three states that had no incentive. Mm. Now we have one of the best.
Okay.
So now, and I could get my whole pitch is I give you everything Cleveland or Pittsburgh camp at a much better price. I give you everything. You know, look, Youngstown, you know, when we did the film, when the film was, we did the Good Son, based on the book that was written about me.
Yeah.
The documentary, we shot that 2012, and it was released 2014, and we did a 10-city tour mm-hmm. with that. And the director's from Canada, and he came here, and he said, Ray, you cannot recreate what you have here in Youngstown on some back lot in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
He said, this is a soundstage. Youngstown is a soundstage. And I said, I've been saying that right along, which is why I've been doing projects.
Mm-hmm.
So I've done four major projects here over the last 20 years. And the whole idea is, I know what I get. The town opens their arms. And we're doing it. I'm in pre-production on a film right now. We're starting to shoot at the end of the summer.
What's that film about? Can you tell us?
Yeah. It's called, the working title is The Monkey's Nest. And The Monkey's Nest was a bar on the, you know, the northeast side of town. And the reason why is because there was a bar there, because I don't know if you knew the story. Back in 1902, 1903, there was a train, circus train, going from Chicago to New York. And at that point, going through Youngstown, one of the cars fell off the train and opened, and all the monkeys, and they were running around that area, and it took the people days to try to get all the monkeys back. And you know, so they collected most of the monkeys, except one of them snuck into a bar that was there and wouldn't come out. And anybody got near him, it would get nasty and try to snap at him. So finally, the people said, look, forget about it, leave them. And the monkey would stay in there, and there was a front light, you know, in front of the, there was a window, and he stood in the front there. And you know, he was a nasty little son of a gun, and people wanted to get near him, so they left him there, and then became friends with him, made friends with him, and, you know, became the pet. And that place became known as the Monkey's Nest, because he nested there. So that's the reason. I always thought that's a cool name, because they always talk about the monkeys, and now they talk that that part of the town is being called the Monkey's Nest. You know, that's a cool name. I'd like to use that for a movie someday.
And so you've been doing producing. You came back to Youngstown in 2014,
correct?
Right? You were living in L.A. before then.
Yeah, Los Santa Monica.
All right. So, tell me about the Monkey's Nest. Who do you want to be in? Who do you want to have in the film?
Well, I already have my first star signed. As a matter of fact, I just sent the pay play money to him this morning. That's why I was.
Are you allowed to tell us?
Yeah, Mickey Rourke.
Mickey Rourke.
Yeah, Mickey's a very dear friend of mine. Mickey was one of the first people I met when I moved to L.A.
Okay.
And he's a big fight fan, so we've been friends for 37 years.
Yeah.
But he just finished a film with Polanski. He just literally filmed in Switzerland. And he's getting ready to do a film with Pacino in the fall.
But the film doesn't necessarily take place in Youngstown.
It's Youngstown for Youngstown.
Okay.
Yeah, that's why I want to use Youngstown. All my films are going to be Youngstown for Youngstown.
Yeah.
I'm shooting all my films back here because there's no need to go anywhere else because, again, you can't recreate on some back lot what we have here.
Right.
Downtown. You know, downtown, I make the pitch all the time when I make pitch other filmmakers. Downtown Youngstown is Lower East Side of New York. It's Brooklyn. It's East South Street in Philly. It's North End in Boston. Yet 10 minutes in our suburbs, we're in the North End. We're in the rolling hills of Nebraska. The green pastures of Washington State. The flatlands of New Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because we're in the business of illusion.
Okay, you had this incredible boxing career. Mm-hmm. While you were having that career, did you always have in your back of your mind, like, you know, this is going to end someday,
yeah,
and I really want, once this is done, I really want to focus on film or acting, or did it just sort of evolve for you?
Exactly.
Okay, so
evolved.
So how did that go?
Well, it's funny because I knew it was a short-lived career. Boxing is a short-lived career.
Right.
Especially with my style. It's a shorter career, you know. But I made, you know, I was in, you know, I was always interested in get in, make my money, make my score, win the world title, I should say. Win the world title
you
for my father.
You wanted to do that for your dad.
Make my score, get my financial security, and get out. Get in, make your money, get out. You know, when I turned pro, I moved to New York, and I lived on the Upper West Side myself, and I trained at Times Square Gym. That was my home gym. But I bounced at Gleason's when Gleason's was in Manhattan at that time. And
because it ended up going to Brooklyn, right?
Going to Brooklyn, yeah. Brooklyn Heights.
Yeah.
And so, but at that time, I was still on 31st between 8th and 9th.
Mm-hmm.
And I trained there. And then I trained at different places. Gramercy Gym. There's several gyms around New York at that time.
I didn't realize you lived in New York.
Well, yeah. I lived there.
What years were you there?
79 to 82. And the only reason I moved left in 82 was after I won the world title. I didn't have to be there. Because I was going away to training camp. See, babe, up to that point, I had lived in New York to train, fight.
My God. How did you... New York was a hellhole back then.
Oh, you ain't kidding. The Upper West Side was just being renovated.
Right?
Just being renovated at that time. Everyone, now it's the place to be.
Oh, sure.
But everyone think, oh, Upper West. I said, no, not then. And I used to take the train at 72nd and Broadway,
mm-hmm,
down to 42nd. And the 7th Avenue train was known as the zoo train.
Yeah.
A lot of animals on those trains. And it was true. That was called the zoo train. And you just learn. And you think you're a hip kid. I thought I was a hip kid until I went to New York. Then you find out what's up. They teach you what's up real quick.
Yeah.
You get educated real quick about life.
Right.
You know, when you're walking up the train, there's people urinating in the subway system, just, you know, oblivious to, and people just walking by. And I go, oh, this shit is real.
Mm-hmm.
This is the real deal here.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, that's the city. You know, my trainer taught me, man, you can just kind of mind your business and go around. He said, when I moved to New York, I lived on 73rd at the Park Royal Hotel between Columbus and Central Park.
Mm-hmm.
I was I lived with him first, my trainer. I lived on his couch,
mm-hmm,
until I was able to, I was fighting regularly.
Mm-hmm.
And after several fights, I was able to start, an apartment came open, and I actually subletted it from another guy. And, you know, but I was fighting so regularly, I was able to do that. But I go from my apartment to do work, my apartment I ate at a place, a little Greek restaurant on 72nd, Columbus, called Argo Restaurant. Got to know everybody there. Ate there for breakfast. I ate there for breakfast, and I ate there for dinner, because you only eat twice. And so I got to know everybody, and then when I started climbing, they started following me more, and then I made my debut at the felt forum, which, you know, the garden is on top.
Yeah.
Felt forum underneath. You have to sell it, be able to sell underneath before you can move to the big house.
Yeah.
And they all followed me.
Are there young kids out there that really want to be the next Ray Mancini?
I don't know if there's Ray Mancini, but they want to be the next somebody, but or be themselves in the vein of a Ray Leonard. You know,
I don't see parents taking their kids to boxing.
No. Youngstown used to have several gyms, 7-8 gyms.
Right.
There's only two that I know.
So, what happened? Like, why is boxing not
Because now kids are learning to go to school. It's a brutal sport, and those who want to pursue it have to go other places, like major cities, like Chicago. Because you can't make money with a gym. You can't make money. And that should not be the purpose, to make money.
Right.
That should be to elevate these kids. You know, to get these kids off the street, put them in a program. They get develop self-discipline, self-respect, self-love, and learn how to defend themselves. And if they want to take it to the next level, and it's a camaraderie in the gym that you can't explain. You can't. It's like a team, but it's more closely. Mm-hmm. Because when we're sparring, you're smacking me around. But yet, you know, if you got two guys who never acknowledge each other. Maybe they go to the same school. Maybe the same part of town. Never acknowledge each other. But now they're in the gym. You got the guy who thinks is all that, and you got the kid who's the bookworm. But at least now they'll acknowledge each other in school. Hey, man, how you doing? You
know? Yeah.
Because they're in the gym. They understand. There's a mutual respect that they have
mm-hmm.
that normally wouldn't exist. So that's the thing about the gym. But the gym helped make me the man I am. It's the greatest character builder I know.
But what do you think it is about, like, Ohio that spurs these, like, incredible boxers, athletes, people like that?
I think, you know, look, anywhere you come from, a place like Youngstown, we were the second biggest steel producing city. Let me just say this. I tell people about that. The steel mill shut down September 19, 1977. Black Monday. Everyone knows that.
I remember that.
I was a sophomore in high school. And I knew then, when I started fighting, I wasn't going to go. I knew from a baby, since day one, I wanted to be a fighter. I knew I was not going to be a steel mill guy. All my neighborhood was mill rats, and I mean that affectionately. That's not a bad connotation.
Yeah.
That's what they were called, mill rats.
Right.
All of them. My brother worked in a mill. My father worked in a general fireproofing, which was not a mill, but it was a steel fabricator.
I've got to tell you, in my storage unit, I have vintage salvaged pieces from general fireproofing.
Yeah, because they made metal office furniture.
Yeah.
And it went a few.
I have one of their tank desks.
Yes. And so I knew I wanted something different. I said, I don't want to do that. And this is God's truth. It's true. My father used to give me a kiss in the morning, get me up to do road work, and he'd leave to go to work. It's 6 in the morning. I'd stand at the window. We'd live 2 houses from the corner. He'd walk up to the corner, 2 houses up, to catch his ride. And I'd watch him, you know, torrential rains, blizzard snow, scorching heat, and going, oh, God. Please help me make it as a fighter. I can't do that. That's the truth. That's God's truth. He said, I can't do that. Please help me make it as a fighter. That's the truth. That was my motivation. I think not only mine, but I think a lot of people know that if there's nothing here for us but the steel mill, I mean, which was not a bad thing at the time. So, you know, at the time, people, the men here, guys in my brother's, you know, era, my brother's 5 years older than me. Even the guys a little older than me, my sister's, me, are 12 years apart. But guys in my brother's era, their idea was graduate high school, get a job in the mill, meet a nice girl, get married, raise a family. Solid life. Good life. But I wanted something different. When the steel mill shut down, that killed a lot of dreams and goals for a lot of guys. So now, the idea of going to school, getting an education to be a doctor or a lawyer, those days, no, that wasn't. Make a raise a family. But now, people had to reevaluate their life. What am I going to do? A lot of people moved away. A lot of them moved to Houston, Texas, where this company took the steel mills. I got moved to other places, and a lot of them stuck it out and did the grind. A lot of them turned to organized crime because that was happening.
Yeah.
Because you know, one thing that's been persistent in this city for 100 years is organized crime. We're the only city of our size controlled by two major families,
yeah.
Cleveland and Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
So you want to make a buck, you want to collect, you want to book, you want to be a collector, you want to hustle, you can make a buck. A lot of guys did. So that wasn't hard to find, you know, work. But that's when a lot of guys became desperados because, you know, there was nothing going on there. So the crime rate went up during the late 70s, early 80s, because, you know, there was, like I said, you know, there's a lot of desperados out there, and it became Wild West. So when I turned pro in 1979, we were only 2 years removed from the steel mill shutting down. And I realized, I mean, the people needed something to hold on to. I'm not, I always knew what I was going to do. I knew I was going away, moving away. But people see needed something to hold on to, and I happened to be that guy. Could have been anybody. It just happened to be me at the time. And plus, my style of fighting was very reminiscent, emblematic of the people.
Mm-hmm.
Come forward, take our shots, give shots, take shots. But at the end of the day, I'm still standing. And I think that's what why the people rooted for me so hard and mourned with me when I lost.
Right. Did you know that when you were fighting and you were, and no matter where your career would have went, did you always kind of feel inside you would end up coming back to Youngstown?
I always wanted to come back. Always knew I was coming back. Even when I moved to California in 1985, I was there for, like I said, 30 years.
Yeah.
I always wanted to come back. People would say, when I was out there, they'd say, later, where do you live? I saw, over here on the west side. Santa Monica. Oh, and they said, here, this is home for you? I go, no, it's not home. It's not. I said, no, it's my kid's home. It's not my home.
Mm-hmm.
I'm from Youngstown, Ohio, born and raised. That's my home.
Right.
And people look at you, this ain't home. I never considered it home.
Right.
Now I've been there 30 years. That's strange. I was there longer than anywhere else I'd be, mm-hmm. probably anywhere else I will be.
Ray, I want to ask you about something, and I know you've talked about this before, and it's kind of a sensitive subject, but we've had a lot of time since this happened, but the fight where the guy from South Korea passed away shortly after you fought him, looking back on that now, I know that was a very traumatic experience at the time, right? How do you feel about it looking back like 40 years later? Is there a part of you that says, it actually helped in a way because it changed boxing? Like, how do you feel about that?
It didn't help nothing.
It didn't help?
No, it didn't
Why?
Help boxing. It didn't help boxing. It didn't help boxing anyway. And that happened. I dealt with it. I moved on from it.
Sure.
And people said, it doesn't help boxing. It's actually
hurt. How do you say it didn't help boxing?
How did it tell me how it did?
I don't know because I don't know boxing.
No, it didn't. They say because it went from 15 rounds to 12 rounds?
Yeah.
Any 10-round fighter can go 12. Very few go 15.
Right.
So what makes the difference between a contender from a pretender?
Right.
From a champ from a chump? What's the difference?
Right.
Let me tell you this. This is a fact. So they won't say, it was a TV decision. It wasn't that a medical decision. It wasn't any decision, but a TV decision. So that's the reason why.
Wow. When it's all said and done, you've got this incredible career happening now in Youngstown, and God bless you. I hope
I'm
can
open.
Come back and
I'm
work
open.
On one of these
I hope
things
so
with you.
Too. I hope so, too.
And I think it's awesome that you're making Youngstown
We're doing the
film,
grind. We're doing
place.
The grind. We're going to make it. We're going to make this a film destination. For these young kids. There's young generation. There's a lot of young filmmakers here that can't get to California. Can't get to L.A.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, New York or anywhere else.
Right.
So we're going to bring it to them. But they got to prove themselves.
And as we talked
they
about earlier, if anything's taught us, is that you can do these things locally now
after
the pandemic.
Exactly. The pandemic helped independent film.
So, Ray, when it's all said and done, what do you want your legacy to be? What do you want people to say about you? The other thing I want to ask you is, at some point they'll probably put some statue or plaque up of you in town. But where would you want it?
Well, first of all, it's probably it's funny. People have asked me what would my legacy be? What would I see on my
tombstone?
Ray Mancini was a good son, was a good brother, was a good friend, a good father, a good husband, and not a bad fighter.
And cut. All right, that'll do it for this episode. Follow us on the socials, and if it's easy enough, leave us a review. It just helps others find the show. We'll see you next time on From Ohio.